Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. We're continuing our study, the life of John the Baptist, really to discern a true and a false prophet. And we looked at yesterday the character of John the Baptist. The character of John the Baptist. I said that this is the great error in the church today. John says, I'm just the voice. And the error in the church today is that pastors love to put themselves in the place of Jesus Christ to receive the glory. They're the focal point of the church. They sit up there, they manipulate, they rope in, and they are the ones whom everyone's talking about after church. We have a stardom in the pulpit today. And this is very dangerous to the message. This is not the way John the Baptist took any sort of credit to himself. So some love the status of a great prophet. Some love to have their books and to have everyone really cater to them. John wouldn't even take that status. And so here we're looking at the character of a true prophet. Remember what John said in John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. You see, we're focused today on men's speaking abilities. We're in awe with their capabilities of whether they tell stories, how they relate, how practical they are, what they look like. And we are enamored by those who can deliver the message in such a way that captivates us. And rarely do we hear the burden of John's heart. He must increase, but I must decrease. I don't even want anyone who comes to visit to see me. I want everyone to see the riches of Christ in the message. You see, that's what John says. I'm not worthy to loose the straps on his sandal. I'm not even better than a slave, because that's what slaves did for noblemen in those days. This is one way of validating what you're hearing every week. Who's the focal point of the church? What is the message of the one you're hearing? Is it to become enamored with him as he manipulates with slideshows and videos to make people weep and cry over third world countries, to manipulate you? That is not the way preaching occurs. Preaching occurs in the demonstration of the Spirit and power as Christ is beheld, as Christ is shown. And that's what John the Apostle is saying. You know the witness of John is true concerning Jesus Christ, because the natural tendency of men is to love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Powerful preachers prey on weak sheep. And in this country, we're obsessed with that. And so I made the plea yesterday, don't ever follow a man. Don't ever become caught up in a man. Be caught up in the message. Because what is the man? The greatest of all born among women. Of women, of the prophet, said, I'm just a voice crying out in the wilderness. The voice dies, my friends. John the Baptist is dead. But Isaiah 40 says, the word of our God endures forever. That's what we follow. John declared that his mission in life was to get sinners to listen to the God-given message that they might behold the Lamb. That is what Isaiah 40 said, cry out, they're all perishing. They've received double for their sins. But say, behold your God. He will feed you in the wilderness. John presents the Lamb. He says, behold the Lamb of God. He fulfills Isaiah 40. The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. That is what he came to do. Meet the divine Son of God, Jesus Christ. And John was sent before. All pastors are sent to prepare the way. And so in a sense, beloved, every time the word is preached, in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, not in the wisdom of men, not in the manipulations of men. When it is done in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, the way is prepared. And let me just say, that is why preaching must be authoritative. It must be confrontive about your sin, about your life. It must be exposing and hard-hitting. Why? because that makes Christ so beautiful in the presentation of him to sinners. He is beautiful and radiant. But what I'm saying is that when we see ourselves in light of the glory of God, we behold his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. We see the divine Son for who he is, a Savior who has the ability, because he's pure and the light, to save us from our sins. All of the confrontation and exposure of sin, which has to be in preaching, is driving to the grand announcement that you would behold your God in the face of Jesus Christ, the divine Son of God. He repairs Jerusalem. He feeds the weary. He binds up the brokenhearted in the wilderness. He is the head of his church. So what happens next? The Jews and those sent by the Pharisees miss it all. This is a tragic moment. They say, verse 25, "Why then do you baptize if you're not Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John was baptizing with water. And you need to understand the offense of this. You know, water baptism was common among the Jews. It's not just a new Christian thing. It was common for Gentiles when they converted to Judaism. So when there was a Gentile conversion, all the males of the family were circumcised in the house, including the women. All of them were baptized. That was thought by the Jews to remove all the pollutions of being a Gentile dog. They were horrified because John the Baptist is out in the wilderness declaring to the Jews, already God's people, that they were just in need of this baptism of repentance. So John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. In other words, it declared that all were in need of this inward washing that John says Christ gives by his Holy Spirit. The Jews were furious about this, and they refused to see what John is declaring. All they're concerned about, well, listen, this is so important today. All they're concerned about is the why of baptism. You're not doing it right. What right do you have to baptize, John? Instead of getting to the truth of the matter, instead of turning their hearts to the scriptures to see their own need for what water baptism signifies, what do? You're not getting the form down right. You're not following it the way you should. Now, this is a real warning and completely common in the church. How many people do you know who are willing to argue over one issue? I even hear on the radio, people will make one issue their thing, you know, and they're going to bat everyone over the head, and essentially they're going to put you back under the law. And I want to say emphatically, be careful. This goes on all the time. They want to subject people back and put them under the law. And they will get mad. They will make their whole ministries a focus of one issue, and they have not gotten to the heart of the matter. They have not been circumcised in the heart. They have not been washed by the Spirit. And I hear a lot of things like this, you know, whereas let me give you a very good example. In Colossians chapter 2, we read about certain people who want to put us back under the law. "Let no one judge you in food or drink regarding a festival or a new moon or a Sabbaths, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ." There are people who are focusing on worshiping on the Sabbath being the Saturday, and they will put you back under the law for that. You have a whole host of these sort of things where people will do this. Be careful. This is exactly the religion of the Pharisees. We keep the law out of thankfulness. But for instance, on the Sabbath, we understand that it was a 1 in 7 principle rooted in creation. Christ fulfilled that. He is our rest, and yet we keep the Sabbath now out of gratitude. We do that as a pattern of what Christ and the disciples did on the first day of the week. So, in other words, I'm using this as an example to say you could preach on our need as sinners for the gospel and the need for the gospel. Christ is set before someone. Behold the Lamb, and someone is mad because you're not doing something according to the tradition of the fathers. John has nothing to do with that. John turns them to the heart of the matter. John says, "I came baptizing with water, but there comes one among you whom you do not know. I came baptizing with water to declare your need for Jesus Christ, and you don't even know him. That's the sad part, right? People can bang you over the head with the law, and they don't even know Christ. He's coming, and I'm not even worthy, John says, to loose the sandal strap on his shoe. And you're worried about that? Sinners are perishing, and you're worried about that, putting people back under the law? There's an interesting inclusion in verse 28. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Bethabara means the house of passage. It was named that to memorialize the crossing of the Jordan when Israel entered the land. John is baptizing there to declare to all that Jesus is the way which we pass from the barren wilderness into the promised land, from death to life. That's John's witness. He fulfills what Isaiah 40 said, "Cry out, behold your God." The next day, John saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water.' And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said unto me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" What is John saying? Life comes through him. I never knew him, but God himself told me about his Son, that when I saw the Holy Spirit fall upon him and remain upon him, I would know that the one who gives life has come. John says, and think of everything we've considered about John the Baptist this week, his character. "I declare, my witness is that this indeed is the Son of God." John was a great prophet. All the people knew that. We're 2,000 years removed from this. Everyone knew about the fame of John the Baptist. This was his witness. That everything that was said of Jesus Christ in the prologue, that in the beginning he was before all things, that he was eternally face to face with his Father, that he is true and eternal God, that he came here, tabernacled among us, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten God. John's witness was the same. John bore witness of him. And look at what kind of a witness he was. He decreased so much for this truth, his head ended up on a platter. But through it all, his voice was heard. Many sons of Israel were brought to their God through John the Baptist. And today, the message continues through the messenger. Comfort. Comfort, my people. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. My friends, behold the Lamb. He is the one. He is the manna, the heavenly manna. He saves us from our sins. That witness goes forward about him. You have two extremes today. The messenger can so idolize himself that weak sheep have their eyes turned from their God. Or you can despise the messenger and his message to the point that you miss everything that is being said to you about the Christ. John's witness crushed sinners that they might be healed and brought to the Redeemer of Israel. After preparing the way with that kind of preaching, can you imagine when the day John saw Christ walking toward him, he looks at him, falls to his feet before the multitude, I'm just imagining, openly declaring, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Dear friend, behold the Lamb of God." Bounding Grace Radio was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. You can visit us on the web at www.lindenurc.com. Many resources there for you to get to know us, who we are, and what we believe. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.